You have your Bible this morning, turn with me to Amos chapter 4, verse 12. It said, "Therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel." At the time that Amos prophesied, both Israel and Judah stood high in prosperity and wealth. Israel was secure from outward enemies. They were strong in inward resources. Everything was going well. They were very far from expecting ruin and destruction. Prosperity had crept in and had produced its fruit of pride, luxury, selfishness, and oppression. And the northern kingdom of Israel was guilty of calf worship, and it was to Bethel, the central seat of this idolatry, that Amos, the prophet of God, was sent. Now in verse 8 it says, God had punished Israel by withholding the rain. And then he says, "Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Verse 9, God had punished Israel with blasting, that is plant disease, mildew, and locusts. And he says again, "Yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Verse 10, God had punished Israel with pestilence and with the sword, and again he says, "Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." Then in verse 11, God had punished Israel by overthrowing some, as he did with Sodom and Gomorrah, and he says again, "Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord." God had punished Israel, and yet they did not see the hand of God in the punishment. Now God comes to the last resort to which he will take, and he says, "Therefore, this will I do." And that course of action that God threatens here would be in point of severity and advance upon all that had previously been done. They had faced God's judgment, yet they did not see his hand in them. They had faced God's prophets, and they had ignored them. But now then, they must come face to face with God himself, and to the pious Jew, facing God literally was like facing death itself. To the unrighteous, it must have been the embodiment of all terror. For it was from the presence of the Lord that those wicked in the judgment, they call upon the hills, the rocks, and the mountains to fall upon them and to hide them from the presence of him that sits on the throne. But we also need to remember this morning that we're going to face God ourselves. There's coming a time that we're going to look into the eyes of God, we're going to face him the way that we are. The Bible teaches us that we're not ready to meet God in our natural state. The scripture says that we are born in sin, we're conceived in iniquity. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And there's none righteous, no, not one. So it simply reminds us that in our natural state, we're not ready to meet God until some changes have been made, and that is the change of repentance and conversion. You see, it's amazing that God, in his love, made it possible that we could start all over again. That is, that he is the God of the second chance. He gives us opportunity in order that we might redo. You get very few redos in life, but with God, he made it possible through Jesus Christ that we might come and acknowledge our sins and accept him as personal Savior and the old man of sin die out and be buried and then be resurrected in the newness of life to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful Savior that we have, that he gives us the opportunity to start all over. There is a difference between us and God. He is perfect. He is without sin. He is stainless. He is holy. He is altogether righteous, but we are sinners. We live in sin. We walk in sin. We think in sin. Surely such vile creatures as we can never face a holy and a righteous God by ourselves. There must be something done, that is, we must prepare to meet God. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Let me remind you this morning that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Now you get ready to go on a trip. What do? You start preparing. You do it not just the day before you leave or the morning that you leave, but you start preparing weeks in advance. And everybody knows that you're preparing for that trip. If a person's going to heaven, they've got to prepare. You see, a person has got to come to the place in their life that they realize that the will of God is uppermost in preparing to meet him in peace. I want to meet God in peace. How do I do that? I find in this book the roadmap that tells me how to get to heaven, and I do what God tells me to do. If I'm going to be prepared, then I've got to do it God's way, not my way or man's way. We must meet God in this life. God has certain unchangeable laws. If we violate these laws, we're going to come face to face with Almighty God and with his judgment. The Bible tells us that God created man and woman on the sixth day, and he placed them in the beautiful Garden of Eden, and they were perfect. They were without any sin. They had done nothing wrong. There was no sickness. There was no pain. There was no death. There were no problems. Everything was bliss because they were without sin. But Satan comes on the scene and he deceives Adam and Eve and tells them that if they'll just eat of that forbidden fruit that God said you can eat of all the other fruit, of all the other trees in the garden, but this one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're not to eat of it or you will die. The devil said, God does know that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And so they partook. Well, you know the story, how that God shut down the Garden of Eden. They were kicked out. And sin began to take its toll. And it was a downward journey until it finally reached the point in the book of Genesis when God looked out through the portals of heaven and he saw the intent and the thoughts of the heart of man were evil continually in his sight, and it repented God that he had made man. And God said, I will destroy all living from the face of the earth. But he found one man and his family righteous in his sight. And he called Noah, warned him in a dream, and gave him instructions of what to do. Can you imagine being warned by God in a dream? And then you set out that next morning to do exactly what God had told you to do. That you believe God and you built that ark. 120 years will pass before the reality of God's impending judgment will come. But finally, everything reached that point. And one morning, 120 years and 7 days. 7 days, the number of completion, finality. God had been merciful and long-suffering It was business as usual. Everybody thought everything is going to continue just the way that it's always gone. They didn't believe Noah, the man of God. But 120 years and 7 days, all of a sudden the heavens opened up and the rains began to fall. For 40 days and 40 nights, the rain came from heaven. The fountains of the deep broke up, and water began to gush out of every crack and crevice until everybody was gone. Everybody was dead, save those 8 souls that were on the ark. The Bible reminds us, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. A man may say, I will live as I please. It's nobody's business but mine. Then one day he comes face to face with the reality and the consequence of his sins, and he learns that God will not be mocked, that he must pay for his sin. You reap what you sow. The law of the harvest said, whatever you sow, whatever kind of seed, that's what you're going to reap. The same is true in the spiritual. I'm reminded of the young man, some of his friends went up to White Bluff Mountain. They were going to party, have a good time. They were young, had a lot of life left in them, they thought. This one young man got to drinking. Maybe he stumbled. I don't know what happened, but he fell off that cliff and never made it home. You reap what you sow. Nobody plans to die in their sins and go to hell, do they? I mean, nobody wants to do that. Anybody in their right mind would say, oh, no, I don't want to do that, preacher. I'm telling you, heaven is a prepared place for prepared people only. You must prepare to meet God. Joseph and his brothers, the Bible tells us that they mistreated Joseph. They sold him into slavery. He was a slave. He got falsely accused. He was cast into prison. 22 years go by, and he's in that state. But then God raised him up. And he became second in command. He was second in ruling behind Pharaoh in all of Egypt. You talk about a miracle. And all of a sudden, there was famine in the land of Israel, and they had to come to Egypt in order to buy grain. And when they were faced with problems and troubles, one of them wisely said, and this is the essence of what he said, I know why all of this trouble has come upon us. It's because that we cruelly mistreated our brother Joseph. And now we must meet our sin again. God is paying off. You see, a person can run from their sins, but they're just like a bloodhound. With the scent of blood in its nostrils, they will track you down. And then we must meet God in life's responsibilities. It says in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, we know a steward is one who manages the estate or the affairs of another. We have responsibilities. Number one, to become a Christian. You know, more than anything else, I want to be pleasing to the Lord. When I got saved at 14 years of age, that was the most exciting day of my life. To know that my sins were covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, I never questioned that, never doubted that. I never backslid. I didn't want to backslide. I didn't want to do anything but just keep on serving the Lord and doing His will in my life. And it's gotten sweeter as the days have gone by. But God wants everyone to become a Christian. Then he wants us to rear our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You know, in all of my business of serving the Lord, I didn't want to become too busy trying to help others and neglect my own family. I want to make sure that my children go to heaven. I can tell you that's the desire of everyone. And I know there were times in my daughter's life, I didn't know that was going to happen. But I thank God for His mercy and His grace that the last few years of her life, He reached down and picked her up out of sin and washed her white as snow. Amen. It would be so awful to win others and lose your own children in hell. But brethren, you've got to teach them and train them in those formative years. You can't wait. And then we need to be a loyal church member. It's His church. Amen. It's not Carl's church. It's not just the Cornerstone church. It's His church. Amen. He's the head of the church. And we bow down before Him and we worship Him. We praise Him. We serve Him. You know, when you get to heaven, all of the family of God, we're going to serve Him together. What a blessing it will be. We serve Him here, but we'll serve Him for all eternity there. What kind of a church would this church be if every member were just like me? Then we must meet God in death. 100 years from now, 50 years from now, maybe a year from now. I don't know. But 100 years from now, we'll all be somewhere in eternity, either heaven or hell, and there's no other place. You see, there's only heaven, and there's hell. I don't know about you. Well, I know that's why you're here. You want to go to heaven. Amen. I do too. And I don't believe that it's going to be a long time until the Lord says it's enough. And so we better be ready to meet Him. The old grim reaper, when he comes, it'll not always be down the street. It'll not always be next door. There'll come a time when he'll come through locked doors. And he'll reap the harvest of your life and mine as well. But you know, death is not frightening. It wasn't for Sister Dean. It wasn't for the family, because they knew that she was ready for this hour. I'm telling you, that's all that counts. I've said before, and I say again this morning, I wish there was another way we could get to heaven besides dying, you know. But you know, when we die in the Lord, we breathe our last breath here, the next breath is in heaven. And so what a blessing it is to be a child of God. Many a person has come to church on a Sunday morning, been convicted of God for their sins, and God has reminded them they need to do something about it. They need to come get saved. They need to rededicate their life, whatever the situation might be, but they need to do it now. And sometimes folks think, well, I'm going to do it one of these days. Kind of reminds me of Luke chapter 12, the barn builder. He was rich and had one of those bumper crops. Everything was going well. And he took counsel, not with God, but with himself, and he said, this is what I'm going to do. He looked over at his little meager barns. They weren't sufficient to house all of his goods. And so he took counsel and said, I'll tear down these meager barns and I'm going to build me bigger ones to house all my goods. And then I'm going to say, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. In other words, you've got it made. But he learned a lesson that there's a lot of difference between many years. And the Lord said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall these things be that you provided? You see, he found out there's a lot of difference between his many years and God says this night. You know, there comes a time in the life of every sinner that God gives him that last opportunity. Last opportunity. He calls that man, that woman, that young person to come, and they listen. Maybe they feel that tug on their heartstring. Maybe they feel that there's an urgency about this. I really need to do it, but for some reason, they don't. They put it off. And then that time comes when death comes and they're hurled out into that eternal world. And as a tree falls, so shall it lay. A person dies in sin, then for all eternity they'll pay the price for that sin. Now that may sound harsh, but in light of all the opportunities that God has granted for folks to get right with him, it's not harsh. God is a loving God. But he says, my spirit will not always strive with man. So we need to make preparation to meet God while there's opportunity. Death is the common lot of us all. It's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And then finally, we must meet God at the judgment. Beyond this veil of tears, we must all stand before the judgment bar of Almighty God. Now, he has all the evidence. He has all the facts of your case and mine. When we stand before him, I want you to know that he knows everything that you've ever done, every thought that you've ever had. He knows everything that's happened in your life. So that God that has a perfect record of all that you have done and all that I have done, before him we will stand. And he who is omniscient will call us before him. And I don't know just how it's going to happen, but I kind of visualize my mind's eye that at the judgment day, the mind has a tape recorder. And in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, your life will be played back through the tape recorder of your mind of all the life that you've lived down here. And you'll see yourself as you really are. It won't have to be plastered on a big screen, but it'll be made manifest to all of what you are. I'm asking you this morning that if you're not ready to meet the Lord, I don't know of a better time to come than right now this morning and accept him as your personal Savior. We're just passing through. You may have a do-over this morning. You don't know that tomorrow you'll have that do-over opportunity. But you've got it today. Praise God. You've got it today. Let's bow for prayer.